It's time. It's time to open your eyes. It's time to open your mind. It's time to grow up and face reality. It's time to lock and load because it's Meat Trapper time. Hello everyone and welcome to episode number 216 of Meat Trapper Radio. I am coming to you today on a bright sunny afternoon on this Labor Day weekend, and I hope each and every one of you are with family and in a safe place and enjoying the time that we have left to enjoy such things. It has been an interesting week. It seems like every week is now an interesting week. But I would like to thank Mr. Brian McKee of SouthernSnares.com for sponsoring this broadcast, because without his sponsorship and his willingness to step up when very few others are willing to step up, this broadcast would not be possible in its current form. So anyway, thank you, Brian, and I would like to urge all of you, if you are still trying to round up last-minute supplies, snares, baits, lures, traps, or anything like that, to give SouthernSnares.com a chance. We either hang together or we shall hang separately, I believe somebody once said, and that's absolutely true. Now, we're going to talk about a lot tonight. We're going to do some listener mail. I get a lot of great emails, a lot of great questions, and a lot of great tips and suggestions, and I'm going to share some of those. And then later in the broadcast, we're going to have a very in-depth discussion of the 22 long rifle and its use in battle. We're going to talk about suppressed 22s. We're going to talk about 22s being used by the Israeli army to bust up riots. Not that that would be a topic of interest or current affairs. And so we're going to go into great detail on that and exactly what they found. We're going to talk about using 22 long rifles out to 300 yards against enemy personnel. So stay tuned. It's going to be an interesting broadcast. At least I hope so. And the first thing I want to talk about is we had a bonus episode. Now, if you're a Patreon supporter and you're over at Patreon, you know we do bonus episodes on a regular basis, and we do what I call hardcore episodes, where I don't do a lot of editing and don't do a lot of music or anything, and we get into some pretty hardcore subjects that are best left behind a certain amount of filtering that are not readily made for public dissemination, put it that way. And we had one bonus episode that was really good here lately, and it was on nano silver and the difference between nano silver and colloidal silver, and how you have to be prepared to heal your own wounds, as the medical system in this country is being increasingly hijacked by political correctness. And when the government gets its hands on it, it will ruin it. So it's up to you to stay healthy, wealthy, and wise, and to learn how to treat yourself if need be. And the nano silver episode was great. But I got an email from Ken, and I wanted to share that because, excuse me, I'm just getting out of my kayak here and stumbling around on the muddy bank. But I got an email from Ken, and it was a great reminder about, you know, natural wholesome remedies and some remedies that you know, we just don't think about, but they're right there in front of us. And one was honey. And so he sent me a good email. I don't have it in front of me, but you know, honey is a natural antibacterial. It's a great thing to put on an open wound for that reason. You know, so honey is, it's really a multi-purpose substance, and it was highly sought after by the Indians. They went to great lengths to follow bees. I don't know if it's true or if it's just apocryphal, but they say that the Indians would catch a bee unharmed, and they would tie a small feather to the bee, and then when the bee would fly, he would fly directly back to the beehive, and the Indians could trail him through the woods to find it, and that's where the term beeline comes from. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it's a good story nonetheless. But it shows the lengths to which, you know, early people would go to acquire honey. So honey, of course, is, you know, it's a wonderful sweetener. It's a great natural sweetener that you can put it in tea, you can put it in your oatmeal, anything that you need to sweeten up. Honey also pretty much is indestructible. It will last forever. They've found honey that's thousands of years old, and it's perfectly good. If your honey gets hard, you know, from sitting on the shelf for a long time, you can just put it in a pan of warm water, put the jar in a pan of warm water and heat it up, and it will reliquefy. And of course, Ken was talking about using honey as an antibacterial wound treatment, and he relayed a story where he had stepped on a nail and he had had a puncture wound in his foot. And that, you know, that can be a problematic thing. It's not like something that you can just suture up, because, you know, a puncture wound, it doesn't have a lot of surface area that's exposed for you to treat or put medicine on, but it's deep, and the, you know, the infection can run deep. And he had an interesting way to treat his wound, and I want to share that with you, because it shows that, you know, there's a lot of options out there that we don't normally think of. And so what he did is he took a small syringe. Okay, now, syringes are one of those things that are handy to have around, whether it's to wash out eyes. You know, if you get something in your eye and you have some saline, you can put in a syringe. If it's something you need to irrigate a wound with, a lot of times administering medication to pets, you know, to dogs and everything. If you have a liquid and you put it in a syringe, you cram it down their throat and, you know, hit the plunger and down it goes. So a syringe is a great thing to have in different sizes. And what he did is he put honey into a syringe, and then he stuck the syringe into the puncture wound, and he slowly injected honey down into the puncture wound and then covered it up. And he said within just a few days, the wound had completely healed over, and there was just a small mark left on the surface of the skin where the wound had been. And so that's, to me, that was... you know, it's a great reminder of a simple home remedy with a twist, you know, and it shows just with using just a little bit of imagination, you could take what would otherwise be a potentially fatally, or not fatally, but a potentially serious wound and successfully treat it in just a few days with something that you should already have on hand. And, you know, when it comes to honey, just to go off on a tangent a little bit, I don't buy mine at the store. Not at all. I buy from local beekeepers, and I'm adamant on that. I've talked many times about supporting your local producers, supporting your local makers, your local businessmen. And you know, why would you want to go to Walmart and buy Chinese sugar water, you know, in a little plastic honey bear, when there's guys just down the road from you that are raising their own bees, that are putting a lot of attention, a lot of love and care into what they do, and they're producing a local superior product, and they're, you know, not all honey is equal. There's different, and I don't want to get off on the deep end and show my ignorance on this, because I'm sure some of you know a lot more about beekeeping than I do. I've had friends that have done it, and I've been around it, and, you know, there's royal jelly, and there's all kinds of stuff, and you can get into bee pollen for your allergies, and use local bee pollen from your local area to treat your allergies. So there's a lot to be said for that. But, you know, sadly, most people are going to run to Walmart and you know, buy high fructose corn syrup or something. That's going to be their idea of a sweetener. And then if they get a cut, they've got to go to the emergency room or to the doc in the box. And they've got to sit and in the waiting room, and they've got to wait, and they've got to pay through the nose for everything. And that's just going to get worse. So you need to start thinking about this. And Ken said that he would do an episode or a segment on golden seal and some of its medicinal uses. So I'm looking forward to that. So Ken, if you get a chance, either record it or write it up. It doesn't matter, and send it on in. We would all love to hear that. Now the next thing I want to discuss is it is now officially September. And before too much longer, you're going to see the flu season kick back in. We had a little cool front move through. The high today is 84 degrees, which for where I am is a breath of fresh air. And it was actually a little bit chilly this morning when I went out, which was wonderful. But in no time at all, cold weather is going to be here. And with cold weather is going to come the flu season. And we go through this every year. And some years are worse than others. Different strains of flu come through, and they try and come up with a flu shot. And most of the time, 99% of the time, they have the wrong strain on the flu shot. And so the flu shot makes you a little sick, and then you still get the flu anyway, which shows just how much they know about vaccines and flu. Not that there's any talk of vaccines and flu going around. But, you know, we've seen it to where as much as 50% of all the kids in school have been out with the flu. And we've seen it in the past where they've had to, close the school for a while and go in and disinfect it and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And that was just for regular old flu, not the killer COVID flu that we have, you know, the one that's killed every other person on your street. You know, the one, the killer COVID flu that's got the bodies stacked up like cordwood. You know, you remember the millions of people that were going to die from COVID? You know, and they're still claiming 200,000 people have died from this, which is complete and total crap. Even the CDC came out and adjusted their numbers the other day, and they admitted that only about 9,000 Americans have died of pure COVID. The other 191,000 people that they have attributed, they had multiple comorbidities. They were elderly, they had hypertension, they had high blood pressure, they had strokes, they had this, that, and the other, they had COPD, they had this, that, and the other. And then when they got sick, they died. We've even seen people that were killed in motorcycle crashes that were labeled as COVID deaths. And here in Tennessee, they had a guy the other day whose mother had passed away 6 months ago. And just a few days ago, she got a letter in the mail addressed to her, even though she's been dead for 6 months, informing her that she had tested positive for COVID-19. You know, I guess now, I guess since the woman has been dead for 6 months and she's tested positive for COVID-19, maybe she can also vote for Joe Biden. You know, we have a lot of that going on. But, it's all garbage. It's all crap. And yes, there are some people that have legitimately gotten sick, and there are some people that have died from this. There are a lot of variables on that. But by and large, it's a scamdemic. It's an infodemic. It is a tool that has been used to control the masses of the population, and it has worked fabulously. And so why am I going into this? Because come flu season, when people actually start getting sick, when you start actually seeing people that you know get sick from the flu, people are going to freak the you-know-what out. Can you imagine if you take a look around you at the fear and the cowardice that you see all around you every single day? It's going to explode come flu season when people actually get stricken with the flu, when they actually have high fever, when they actually feel like crap. The panic is going to be off the charts. And if you think the lockdowns and the shutdowns and the repression that you've seen up to this point is bad, you ain't seen nothing yet, but you will. And so my point is, you need to stock up. You know, my wife came home the other day and she said, you know, I actually saw some hand sanitizer at the store. I was like, if there's anything that you need to stock up on, Okay. Remember the toilet paper shortage, the great toilet paper shortage? guess what? It's going to happen again. People are that damn stupid. It's just the truth. So one of the things that struck me, though, was the seed shortage. If you think back, because see, most people have a very, very, very short memory. Do you remember seeds being roped off? I do. I saw that personally. Plus, there were reports of it all over the internet that seeds had been roped off and you weren't able to buy them. And then when you tried to get online, there had been panic runs on seeds, and there were huge sections of seeds that were simply unavailable. They were completely sold out. So you need to go back. One of the things you can do to identify this stuff is if you're on social media like Facebook or whatever, go back a few months in people's timelines and look at what was going on and prepare accordingly, because it's going to go on again. Yeast. Okay. Yeast was impossible to find. Bread flour was impossible to find. Seeds. Canning jars and canning lids are still almost impossible to find. So a lot of this is still going on. But one of the things that I did was, I started accumulating the seeds that I need. And one way that I keep them organized, because I'm one of these people, I have to have everything in its place, and it has to be in a bin or an ammo can or something. It has to be properly labeled, so that I can put my hands on it. I can't stand disorder. But I use those little plastic fishing tackle boxes. If you've seen them before, if you're a fisherman, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But you can buy these, like a nylon bag with a shoulder strap, and you open the nylon bag up, and it's all the different size plastic tackle boxes down in there. And so something like that is great to organize your seeds and save your seeds with. You have them all in one place. They're all in plastic little bins, all tidy up, ready to go, easy to label, easy to organize. And so be thinking like that, because that's another thing that I do. I buy DeWalt organizing toolboxes for all my snare supplies. Those things are great. They have a clear lid on the top, and you pick them up by the handle, and they're very secure. You can see exactly how many double ferrules you've got, exactly how many stop buttons, exactly how many locks and swivels, and all of that. And I use one toolbox, one of these toolbox organizers for 1/16 inch, one for 5/64, one for 3/32, one for 1/8 inch hardware. Very easy. It's a little bit of an investment up front, but it's very easy to stay organized. So people, what I'm telling you is this crap is coming back around, and it's going to be bigger and better than ever. the sequel, because they can never, how Hollywood can never come up with an original idea or an original movie anymore, so they always have to make a sequel or they have to do a remake of everything. Well, they're going to have a sequel. It's going to be COVID 2021. And it's going to be bigger and better than ever before. It's going to have better special effects. It's going to be even more of a blockbuster thriller than this crap was last time. So consider yourself warned. Now, the final topic that I want to talk about on the first half of tonight's show is some follow-up where I was talking with Barry about Kyle Rittenhouse. Now, if you were a Patreon member, you got the hardcore episode on Kyle Rittenhouse, where I did a second-by-second analysis of the entire situation in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where Kyle Rittenhouse was forced to shoot three people, one of whom was a convicted child molester, who demanded openly that somebody shoot him. And when he tried to take Kyle's AR-15 away from him, he got his wish. Another one was another convicted felon who took a 223 round, 5.56 round, to the chest. He made it about four steps before he expired because he brought a skateboard to a gunfight. And he tried to beat a man over the head who was holding an AR-15. Not a good idea. And then the third man got his right arm blown off because he pulled a Glock on the guy who was holding an AR-15. And he took a round to the right arm. So that lefty is now permanently a lefty. But but I did an episode on that, a hardcore episode, where I analyzed every single thing and went through all the video, all angles from all the video and all of that. And that sparked an excellent discussion over on Patreon. And Barry pointed out one of the things that I wanted to share. And that is, it's not that Kyle didn't have any business there. It's that, you know, basically never interrupt your enemy when he's destroying himself. Now, I guess that would be the best way to paraphrase what Barry's point was, because I don't have it in front of me verbatim. And by that, what we're talking about is these cities, as I have pointed out, how many times have I pointed out that cities are enemy terrain? Okay, the cities belong to the enemy. You don't need to be there. If you have to go there for medical care or for business, get in, get out. The cities and the people in them are not worth saving. I don't care about the cities. I don't care about the people who live there. Now, many moons ago, I did an episode, a Patreon episode, on the book How to Be a Barbarian. And one of the takeaways from that book was the quote, "Not my people, not my problem." Now, by that, I believe the author was Jack Donovan, and by that, what he was saying was, you know, you have to decide who your tribe is, and then you have to remain loyal and faithful to your tribe, and you have to fight for your tribe. And this is something that nobody taught young Kyle, that the used car dealership in Kenosha, Wisconsin, was not part of his tribe. The used car dealership that he was there to help protect, which at first sounds honorable. Okay, it's an honorable thing. This young 17-year-old kid is gonna try and protect property, and he's gonna have a med kit, and he's gonna help people who are injured, and he's gonna clean up graffiti that was sprayed by Black Lives Matter. He's gonna do all this wonderful stuff. But that wasn't his problem. It's not his people. Not his people, not his problem. And that may sound callous, but that's honestly the truth. If you have a business and you live in a liberal city, then when you get burned down, that's on you. That's your problem. If the police won't protect you after you've paid your tax dollars to your liberal Democrat government, that's your problem. Don't look to a 17-year-old conservative kid to come save your business for you. Tough shit, you know? That's how I feel about it. If the liberals want to come in and burn your business down, you have a choice. You can either let them burn it down, or you can pick up a rifle and you can hire private security and you can defend it yourself, which they did not do. So now, of course, since these acts were committed in a liberal socialist crap hole, Kyle is charged with first-degree murder, and he's still in jail without bond, 17 years old. The people that own the used car dealership are not in jail. They're out enjoying the fruits of their labors. They're having a nice Labor Day holiday, unlike little Kyle. Kyle's Labor Day holiday is not so nice. He's behind bars, and he's not getting out anytime soon. And the people that he did this for could give a crap less. You haven't heard one person step forward and say, "Thank you for saving my business, Kyle." Have you? Where are they? Where is their public statement? Where is their support? Nowhere. Nowhere. And one of the things that I do anytime I'm on Facebook and, you know, there's a news story and it's filled with liberals is I screw with them. I will comment on there. I encourage all liberals to step up and support Black Lives Matter by burning down their city. Burn it to the ground. And they don't know what to say. They can't come out and criticize me. But then again, they can't really support me. You know, Barat used to do this. Remember the comedian, the guy Barat? There was a thing when we were in Iraq under Bush. And Barat went to a rodeo, conservative rodeo. And he was like pretending to be from the Middle East. And he was like, I support President Bush. And all the conservatives are like, yeah. He's like, we must go over there and fight. And they're like, yeah. He goes, we must kill them all. And they're like, yeah. He goes, we kill all the babies and we kill all the women and we kill all the animals. We kill everything. And then they weren't quite cheering at that because it took it a little bit too far. And so that's a tactic that I use against them all the time, just for kicks. But the bottom line is, if the liberals want to burn their cities to the ground, what do I care? I don't care. Burn it. Burn it all down. I don't care. And you know, the funny thing is, there was an article yesterday, I believe it was, in the Minneapolis Star, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And you remember, Minneapolis had a bunch of rioting going on, bunch of stuff went on, you know, in Minneapolis. They got it pretty bad. Now, what happened was, is the rioters went in and they set fire to all these buildings down in the inner city. They burned it all down. They looted everything. And later, people were asking the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa people, you know, what about the business owners? And they're like, well, they have insurance. It's not going to hurt the business owner. What? And here's the mentality. Here is the communist ideology that has been instilled in these people by their masters. And that is, if you go and you burn a business down and you loot a business, all the looters are going to get some free TVs and free basketball shoes and free liquor and all of this good stuff. So the looters get some free stuff. You're helping the poor, the downtrodden, the oppressed. The business owner files for insurance and gets reimbursed. So the business owner is not really out that much. And so who you're hurting is the corporate insurance people, the corporations. You're striking a blow at the corporations. That's who's going to have to pay up. Well, of course, that's very flawed logic. It's stupid because a number of things happen. Number one, the insurance companies, they're going to pay out. But guess what? They're going to raise everybody's insurance rates. They're not going to take a loss because insurance companies buy insurance from reinsurers. And that chain goes on and on and on. So everybody is reinsured by everybody else. And so what happens is you have a general raising of the level of inflation and the level of prices. Because as insurance rates go up, business owners have to raise prices to cover the new insurance rate. And the poor people are right back where they started. But here's the rub. Who owns these stores in the inner city? It's not Whitey. Whitey doesn't have the quick stop in the inner city. Ahmed has the quick stop in the inner city. Or Kwang the Korean has the quick stop. So in Minneapolis, you have a lot of Somalis that had businesses. Okay? So all of these businesses that got burned down, the majority of them were owned by the persons of color. I love that, man. You know, because only certain people have color. There are other people that are colorless. I've never met a colorless person yet. But this is just another example. That term is just another example of the abject stupidity of the average American for accepting this bullshit, which is all it is. People of color. You know, who's colorless? Show me one. But anyway, what they're saying is it's brown-skinned folks. Okay, so the brown-skinned people owned most of the businesses that got burned down. Okay, so they go to file their insurance. Well, guess what? They're finding out that their insurance policies that they purchased have a fixed limit on how much they will pay for the demolition of the existing structure. Because, see, once a business is burned like that, you don't just come in and put new carpet down and put a coat of paint on it. The structure gets declared unfit for habitation, unusable, and it has to be demolished. And then all of the rubbish, all of the bricks and the insulation and the roofing tiles and all of that, the shingles, all of that has to be carted off and disposed of. Well, in the wonderful socialist utopia of Minneapolis, government, in its infinite wisdom, has stepped in the past and written a crap load of regulations that specifies this stuff is environmentally hazardous. Because you see, it's in the ghetto, it was older stuff. So there's a lot of asbestos insulation. There's a lot of lead paint. There's a lot of this really harmful stuff. And so when you go to do demolition on a structure that has environmentally hazardous material, it has to be handled by specially trained people, and it has to be disposed of in a special way. And so guess what? Instead of $50,000 to demolish the structure and haul it off, it's $500,000 to demolish the structure and haul it off. And the insurance don't cover it. Imagine that. So the Black Lives Matter people went in and burned the businesses of the people of color. And now the people of color are just SOL because their liberal government that they demanded that they have and they voted for has implemented policies that have now put them completely out of business. They're just effed. But you don't hear about that, do you? Do you understand how broken the system is? Do you understand how far into the idiocracy we are? If you've never watched the movie, you really ought to, Idiocracy. Because we're there. So these people are just screwed now. They've put their life savings into a business. The business has been burned to the ground. The insurance won't cover their losses. And the icing on the cake is the city of Minneapolis is going into these areas because they have to be cleared out and rebuilt, right? You can't just let the rubble sit there, otherwise you'll look like Detroit. So the city of Minneapolis goes in and does this demolition and hauls the rubbish off and then sends the business owner a bill in the mail. So people are opening envelopes and getting bills for $150,000 and their insurance will only pay $25,000. So of course this will all be covered by raising taxes. The productive working people will once again pay for it all. That is, if you're stupid enough to live in one of these places. Which is why the cities are emptying, which is why the real estate market is on fire. And I've covered that on previous broadcasts. But anyway, if you're a Patreon member, stay tuned. We're going to get into 10/22s and 22 long rifle battle usage. We're going to get into the hardcore nitty-gritty of what the IDF used suppressed 22s for and how they used them to stop Palestinian riots. And then we're going to talk about some purely hypothetical uses for such items. And if you're not a Patreon supporter, I would like to ask you to consider becoming one. You can go to patreon.com/meattrapper, get all signed up, become part of the tribe. There's a lot of stuff over there. If you'll look for it, there's an entire resistance trapping series. We've got videos, movies, books, PDFs, all of that kind of stuff that's available to you over there. But you know, that's not the reason to join up. The reason to join up is not to get something extra, really. And if that's your reason, I really don't want you to be quite honest. The bottom line is if there is content that's being produced that you enjoy, that you feel is useful, that you feel is valuable, then you have to support it. Otherwise, it goes away. Because all across the spectrum, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, all across Twitter, conservative voices and the truth is being censored. And it's not going to get better, people. It's only going to get worse. And so if you want to continue to have material available to you that is useful and valuable to you, then you're going to have to pay for it. It's just that simple. So thanks for listening. And Patreon guys, stay tuned. We'll see you in just a second.
Sometimes I feel a little mad. But don't you know that no one alive can always be an angel? When things go wrong, I seem to be bad. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Sometimes I'm so carefree with a joy that's hard to hide. And sometimes it seems that all I have to do is worry, and then you're bound to see my other side. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. If I seem edgy, I want you to know that I never mean to take it out on you. Life has its problems and I get my share, and that's one thing I never mean to do, 'cause I love you. Oh, 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 baby, don't you know I'm human? I have thoughts like any other one. Sometimes I find myself long regretting some foolish thing, some little sinful thing I've done. I'm just a soul intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Yes, I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Yes, I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Misunderstood.